they call it the pop. Remember that? The pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's the orgasm of seeing a moment that you've been waiting for. You know, it only comes once in a great while. We only get those moments once in a great while in any type of combat sport.
Back and lands a big wonderful medal, your lead gold medalist for the United States. And then the offers start coming in.
Coming in, right.
Like, yeah. Maybe a Wilter pro.
Why not?
Oh, welcome back to another episode of Boxing First with G Funky. I'm your host, G Funky Boxing, joined by a very dear friend of mine, my man 97 Ruff from Leave It in the Ring.
What up, what up, what up, everybody?
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, bro. You know, as cold as it is right now. Happy New Year's. Merry Christmas, the whole works to everybody out there, to you and your family, brother. We talked already before that, but, you know, not over the mic and over the air. But, no, doing great, man. I'm happy for the new year. Let's see what happens, you know. I mean, even though there's already stuff kicking off, you got the fires in L.A., so prayers to everybody out there. You got already ice rolling around over here in the Central Valley, man. So, to my raza, stay safe. Stay safe out there, you know?
Yeah, dude. I had to call my family down south to check on them, make sure everything's all right. I'm not too familiar with all the logistics down there, but they said that they're pretty far from any kind of, you know, hazardous or anything, like any kind of fires or stuff like that. So thank God for that. But yeah, guys, real quickly, this first segment of the show tonight is going to be brought to you by Mr. Tequila in Rancho Cordova. And, guys, I will be hosting a fight party there February 1st for David Benavidez versus David Morrell. You guys see all the information there on the flyer. I will be having some local fighters, all right? We just got confirmation, guys. So I'll be having David Delgado, pro fighter 1-0. Malachi Johnson from Sacramento as well will be there. And the latest national champion from Sacramento, Showtime Frank Espinoza. They all train out of the Bloodhounds with Ray Woods, who is a legend here in Sacramento. Those are all his fighters. And we also got Jesse James Guerrero from Gilroy, from the fighting family of the Guerreros out there, will be joining us for that fight party as well. And hey, guys. Hey, guys, I'm hearing Mad Dog might show up. So you want to come out and meet Mad Dog, take a picture with him? Hey, head over to Mr. Tequila for all my Sacramento and Northern California fans, guys. All right. So wanted to get that out the way real quickly here. So, yeah, we're going to talk real briefly here while we're hot on this thing. I just shared some stuff here with my partner. Now, for those of you that don't know Dave from back in the day, okay, some of you might not, but you should. All right. If you were into the boxing podcasting thing 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago, this guy right here was one of the originals, if not the original, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, it was one of them. One of them. That's what they said.
And he was he did a lot of great work back in the day with covering the PEDs in boxing, right? Because it was starting to become it was running rampant through the sport at that time. Did a lot of great work. And so we're going to pick his brain. I'm sure most of you guys have seen Memo Heredia and Victor Conte go back and forth for a little bit on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. So here's how it started, man. During the media day before Benavidez and David Morrell, Team Benavidez had accused David Morrell of not being tested for their upcoming fight February 1st. Now, Victor Conte, I guess, took matters into his own hands like he always does. And, you know, he goes on these epic rants on social media. I shared some of these things with my partner here, so I'm going to get his thoughts on it. So I'm going to read the tweet here that kind of kicked this whole thing off between these two. And then we'll listen to what my partner has to say. This is from Victor Conte, where he says, in my opinion, he's talking to Memo Heredia. Memo Heredia is simply not being truthful. Even though Benavidez was not tested for 15 days, that does not mean that he had not been tested several times before that. A fighter might be tested two times in a week and then not tested for 2 weeks. It's called random testing. No boxer is ever tested on the same day every week for 10 weeks. It's simply not how it works. Random means random, and it's right. not uncommon for fighters to not be tested for 15 days. The fact that a fighter is in a random testing pool is detriment to it in itself. A boxer still knows that a doping control officer can come anytime. What Memo is saying does not make sense because he has enough experience to know how random drug testing works. The real question is, why is Memo making such a fuss if fighter has been tested four times? Now, would you like me to read his response to that? It's a real short one.
Yeah, I think so, to give more contents of what's the back and forth.
So in response to that, Victor says, Memo says, Victor, please, I know what random testing is, so stop it already. 15 days untested is unacceptable while in a testing program. I know fans have had their issues with VADA and whatnot, but Dave, again, you've covered this thing extensively for many, many years. You mm-hmm. know the ins and outs of this stuff, man. So give me your thoughts on this, brother.
I think, honestly, listen, I mean, if you go further with the argument, they're both on the same page. They're both kind of accepting that VADA is the standard of testing. You know, if any fighter wants to be tested, there's a standard there. Also, Victor, if you read what Victor is saying, is the budget. There's a small budget. There's a larger budget. It depends on what the promoter paid for each fighter. The 15 random, it doesn't make sense to me because, like Victor said, and let me just point this out too with Victor, because I've interviewed him numerous times, and what kind of got us involved in looking into the PDs and the testing, VADA, speaking with Margaret, was the whole Balco incident. I saw what happened at the time. My co-host and partner in crime was Gabriel Montoya, and we had this discussion. I was like, hey, did you read this? Did you see this? There was a video with Shane Mosley. Deposition came out, and I had pointed out, let's get him on. Let's get on Victor and hear his side of the story. And that's how it kind of came about. And then Gable started writing a lot, understanding it more, getting in more in depth, and we both did. And we got into that rabbit hole, right? Now, not every fighter can afford the 365 days. Now, random testing. Now, the fighters that have done it, we've spoken to them. And like Canelo, prime example, he did the hair follicle.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he had a clenbuterol whole situation. He got cleared because, that's able to date back, I think, 6 months or something like that. What was being given to him in his system, right? Now, he did the 365 days. And my understanding is, and I would have to really go back because, like I said, we covered this and talked to the people that were involved in doing the 365 days. Andre Ward did it. Nonito Dornier. I think Nonito was actually, either it was Nonito or Ward. I can't remember, were the first ones to do 365 days.
Yeah.
And speaking to these guys, 365 days, I think they only got tested maybe. And I don't want to, don't hold me, to this, because I really would have to go back to all the interviews and times we have spoken to the fighters and have them on leaving the ring. But I want to say maybe 4-6 times out of 365 days. And it was like sporadic. It was out, you're talking months in between.
Yeah.
And I even was like, that's crazy, but. So it's not unheard of a fighter not being tested every week, because the key word, and Victor pointed it out, is random. So 15 days is not like something you should scratch your head about, like, oh, there's something fishy here. There really isn't nothing there. I don't know what memo's leading to. I don't know. I mean,
I was just going to ask you that.
So go ahead. He's just, you know, to me, memo's dirty in the water. And here's another thing with memo. I don't know memo personally. I've tried to reach out to him. I tried to interview him in an email. He was straight up with me. He said, I don't want to talk to you guys. You guys know what to ask. He preferred going on other shows, YouTuber shows that he knew didn't really have the information that we had. And they weren't going to ask the right questions. You know what I mean? They just weren't going to ask. And at that time, we had, you know, we were breaking story after story, you know, when Andre Berto and, you know, Mickey Bay and, I mean, had Shane Mosley come on and admit it, what he was taking and you know, what happened. So, you know, we, you know, at that time we were hot on the topic. We were the only ones covering it. So he knew where he was like, you know, I'm not going to go that route. And he blocked me on Twitter immediately. At the time it was called Twitter. He blocked me for me asking him any questions. So I've always wondered, like, what's his agenda? I'd love to speak to him. I'd love to talk to him. And get his opinion. And like I said, what I'm reading between the two, really, they're on the same page, and they are both accepting that WADA is the standard testing. It's the gold standard for all testing, you know. Now, when I talk about muddying the waters, Victor's done that too. Because, you know, people still hold him to that whole Balco thing, you know.
Right.
A lot of people think that he went to prison. He didn't go to prison. He did fess up to what was going on, but people forget it was Memo that pointed at him, because Memo was being investigated, you know, and Memo was in Mexico. Memo did a documentary of how easy it is to cheat testing. The guy literally went into, he's in Mexico. He went into pharmacies and he was buying products and showing you on, you know, on video on YouTube how to cheat, you know? Mm. So both guys, you know, is you got to kind of take what they say, and I don't blame anybody. Take them for the grain of salt, but I am a true believer. You got to give people a chance to speak their piece, and then you just take whatever you believe is in bits and parts of what is truthful. Okay. I think the problem that many people have with Victor Conte is that he overloads you with all this information, and he believes at the same time with all this information that you're going to understand it. And because of the fact that it's a very complicated thing, PEDs, okay? Because people think steroids. They not understand HGH, PEDs. And it's everything's different. You have to take, in order to make PEDs work, you have to take HGH. There's like a line of stuff to make it effective. And then a lot of folks believe that they're taking it while they're training. They're not taking it while they're training. They're off peak. They're not on peak. You don't take that stuff, because what you're doing is you're filtering out to get the end result, okay? Which would that's why they kind of set it up, you know, that, oh, you're going to fight on November. We're going to start it at, you know, 6 months back, okay? The thing that's alarming, and I think that a lot of people don't understand, is because they'll be like, oh, you know, VADA's this and VADA's that, is that VADA is not a press release company. What I mean by that is, like, they don't, if they find something dirty with the fighter, it's really up to the fighter and the promoter to release those results. It's not VADA. VADA doesn't do that. And then VADA also doesn't do the testing. They're the collector. They take it to a lab that's been appointed, you know, and they do the testing, and then they relay the message. So they're really in between person, you know, of everything. Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to step in real quick.
Yeah.
Because a lot of fans get very confused with that, you know?
It is confusing, man.
Yeah.
It's really confusing. I mean, we were covering it, and we were like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's exactly why I was so lucky to, you know, do so much work with you throughout the, you know, the past few years. I even got a chance to speak to the guy who used to do stuff with, Gabriel Montoya, about it. And got a lot of good information. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people, especially here on YouTube, who refuse to do that kind of research, or just reach out to people who have actually covered the shit, you know? So
if you don't, you know what? Really quick, let me, and then I'll let you finish up. But honestly, I don't blame people, bro, that don't understand it. Because like you just said right now, it's a lot of, and that's what I'm saying about Conte. You see a lot of people attacking Conte and they Google something and then just kind of throw it at his face. It's because there's so much that you have to consume. There's so much you have to go like, okay, and take into account. Like, oh, okay, a thousandth of a percentage and this and that. There's a lot of numbers, yeah. A lot of terminology that you can't learn it and understand it in a week or a month. You would really have to bury your nose in this stuff. And, you know, you got to give kudos to Gabriel Montoya, who did a phenomenal job. And Gabriel had more time than me. And right before we would start the show, I mean, he would throw all the information. And I would, like, we're on air and I'm reading at the same time where he's breaking it down. So I can be, you know, semi caught up to what was going on, but it's a very confusing, solution and, you know, all that stuff for just one person to go like, oh, let me figure this out and I can explain it to everybody, because it really isn't. I think that's what makes people so upset and kind of judgmental about it, because it's not black and white. It really isn't.
Yeah, it's not. It's very complicated, like you said. And, the one thing that I wanted just to put out there was that, because there's a lot of fight fans out there that think because VADA does the testing that they're in control of dishing out punishment, or I should say suspensions to fighters and whatnot. Like,
right?
No, they don't do that. Just like Dave just said, guys, you have to remember this, because you know this channel here is about all about information, right? VADA only does testing. That's it. That is it. You know,
but they collect it.
Yeah.
They don't test. They don't do the testing.
Yeah. Yeah. Even then, I'm still a little right. I gotta make sure I say it out there. Right. Yes. They come collect the blood, the urine, and then they take it to the WADA labs, which they test. And then everything goes according to their protocol, you know?
Absolutely.
So it can be confusing, but though, to me, those are the two things that stick out the most for fight fans. They should understand that is that VADA does not do anything other than, like he said, collect the samples from the fighters. That's it.
And then take it to the appointed testing lab that WADA had said, hey, this is the lab that we're going to use and that we've used in the past and et cetera, you know, and the punishment, all that, you know, like suspension, that is up to the commission. What they want to move forward with, you know,
right?
Mm-hmm. Which, again, that's why it's really difficult, and I think that's why people get lost in the translation of what Victor's trying to do, and then he confuses, you know, a lot of folks thinking that he's in cahoots with VADA, which Margaret will tell you. I've spoken to Margaret, you know, not as many times as Gabriel. Man, we were supposed to have Margaret on last year, remember?
I know.
I was going back and forth with her, and then she's just like, I can't do it, you know, because she's like, I just don't want to do it. People don't understand. People accuse me of stuff. And I feel bad for her because she did something to protect fighters, because remember, she was the ring fight doctor.
She was the fight doctor for a lot of fights. Just go back and watch big fights from the, you know, mid to late 90s, early 2000s. You will see.
Yeah.
Dr. Margaret Goodman there. You'll see Dr. Flipomanski there, who is a part of VADA as well. So, yeah, Dave's absolutely right. And, we had her there, man. And look, guys, you know who you can blame for that? The YouTube boxing community.
Oh, don't say
they're
that.
They're the ones that ruin a lot of good interviews out there for channels like us who just want to get the information and put it out there for people to understand. Right. The problem is the people that want to
understand, because you're always going to get the ones that are like, oh, you know, who's better, juice is this or this and this and this and that. And look, I mean, if you don't want to learn and you don't want to listen, I always tell this to folks. Anybody can be taught, but are you teachable?
There it is. Yeah.
You know, and if you don't want to learn about these ins and outs and this complex thing called testing and VADA, because to be honest, there's a war with doping and sports, all sports. Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing is that it's concentrated in our sport only. Just like, yep. you know, we talked to Jack Reese about this, remember? And I was saying, like, how many times you got to defend our sport against other fans of other sports that their shit's muddy as hell as ours. The only thing is they're better at hiding it. We're not really good at hiding it. And the thing is that VADA has to keep up to date, because I remember a long time ago having on and numerous, I know I'm not just talking Victor Conte, man. We had sport conditioning coaches. I've spoken to trainers that had fighters that had serious effects with this. You know, I don't think I have the right or I, you know, to talk about, but there was a particular fighter that ended up in the hospital because he was using a sports strength and conditioning coach that end up making their liver collapse after a fight. Geez. And the thing is that testing, you got to remember the war is that one guy can have one good PED and then another guy can come up with something better than that, you know, give something more than that PED. And so it always got to be a step ahead, and you're trying to fight this. And you imagine you're trying to fight to keep a sport clean, but then you have a bunch of fans that say they care, but yet they really don't care.
Exactly. And if that's what ruins, you know, like we were saying, we had Margaret ready to go to come on and talk about VADA.
Yeah.
But this is what happens, guys, when she comes on and does interviews with good, honest people that want to get the information, right? You'll get these other guys that will watch it, take clips, twist it all up, make it seem like she's saying this or saying that. And it's a shame, man, because she was ready to go. She was ready to do the interview, man. And we would have gotten a lot out of her. You know, there was a lot of things that I wanted to ask her about VADA and why certain things are on there, why certain things aren't, why have things been changed? Levels and whatnot, like a lot of shit we could have got, man. Yeah. But you can thank the YTBC for that.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that they don't have things to fix. They really do. There's a lot of stuff that VADA needs to look at and fix. And I'll give you a prime example, the Cuban heavyweight Ortiz.
Oh yes.
He was tested positive and failed, and then they press release it, like, oh yeah, he's doping, and he wasn't. He's a diabetic. And what happened with his situation, because I spoke to him and his trainer immediately about it, was they were given forms to fill out. But because they don't speak English, it was very difficult for them to translate everything that was going through. And if I remember correctly, it wasn't even, the paperwork wasn't even sent in English. It was sent in another language, not even Spanish. And it really messed them up, and they had to fill out all this stuff, and then they returned it in. I would have to go back to re-listen to that interview, but I remember that's what happened. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, you couldn't get it from them? And he was like, no, everything was very difficult to get, you know, emails from them or this and that and blah, 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 you know? So there are things that I'm pretty sure she's, you know, cause Margaret's really good. She's very thorough, but I'm pretty sure they corrected that. But it's a human error, because it's run by a human person. It's not a computer. It's not an AI system that's trying to do the testings and get this run through and fixed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I don't think this is going to be an easy fix if they want to continue to go about this route with boxing. it's a difficult thing, man. But yeah, I wanted to touch on that real briefly on your thoughts on Memo and Victor, like you said, two guys who are pretty much known for being PED peddlers, pushers, or whatever you want to call them, you know,
in the past. Let's be clear. In the past. Yeah. I don't know if Memo's still what he's doing. I would hope that David Benavidez's team, you know, are doing very thorough with him. You know, and even if anybody's like, when they're sponsored by Victor Conte, which is Snack, I hope the same thing too. You know, you're being thorough with him. You know, and I'm just, you know, saying it's in the past. I don't know. We don't know. But I do question, like, why are you so, you know what random means? I mean, if you've been in this game for a very long time, you know, 15 days is not a red flag there. So I don't know the angle. Maybe it's the angle to get them off their game, to make them like, you know, like, oh shit, you know, F this, you think, you know, and get them upset. Listen, boxing, we all know it's more mental than physical. So
right.
This sports, is nothing yeah. new, right? This is nothing mm-hmm. new, but with Victor, it's a perfect opportunity to speak drug testing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I don't really look too much into it, to tell you the truth. I'm not really looking too much into it.
Do you also think that this could be a tactic to try to sell pay-per-views? Because let's just face it, Dave, PEDs is something that fans, it gets their blood pumping, a lot of boxing fans. And to throw accusations out there about one fighter not doing this, one fighter not doing that. And again, because most fans aren't educated on this type of stuff, when you hear these type of things, oh, he has been tested in 15 days, you know, it could be, I don't know. I feel like it's not a very good way to promote a fight, but do you think that that might be something that they're doing here?
I mean, I don't know, man. This era of boxing, to tell you the truth, it's really weird. I'm still trying to get immune to it, I guess you could say. Because you know what? A good fight sells itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's something that is like we were talking with Memo and Conte. That's really something of the past with boxing, because they don't let good fights sell themselves anymore. They're too busy putting fights on pay-per-view that really shouldn't be on pay-per-view. And that's a big problem, man. So let's take a couple of questions here from the chat before we move on. Excuse me, guys. I'm still getting over a cold, so I might be doing some coughing. Let's see. If the man is banned everywhere else, why do we need him in boxing? Who? Where there could be very serious consequences. I believe he's talking about Victor Conte. Let's see.
What is he banned from?
I guess maybe he's talking about baseball because of his involvement with guys like Bonds. And I don't know if he's mm-hmm. banned from track and field as well. He had the, what was her name?
Well, what I'm asking Jose here is, what is he banned from? He doesn't do testing.
Right.
What is he banned from?
The Olympics, I guess. He's because of the track and field stars that I guess he,
okay.
had given steroids to in the past. Okay. Look,
but again, he's not in the testing. So that's why I don't understand what the correlation is between Vada and Conte. Conte has nothing to do with Vada. That's what I'm telling you. Like, fans, Jose, you not hear the conversation? He has nothing to do with testing. And that's what I'm saying. You got to separate that. I get it. I get that Victor is a gnat in your ear. And that's what I mean, that people get lost in translation of him just kind of pounding. And again, with Memo Heredia bringing up testing, it was a door opening portal for this guy to jump in, to get involved, to talk testing and be still involved. Listen, the guy's still a sales guy. He's trying to sell snack.
Right.
that's what he does. You know what I mean? I mean, but banned, I mean, yeah, banned from, if he was to do testing, I'd be like, that's fucking that's, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, why is this guy testing anybody? He's not testing anybody. It's the same thing with Memo Heredia. If Memo was testing folks, that should be a red flag. But also, you know, why does everybody focus and care about what Victor did? I mean, there's so many people that's in boxing that are worse than what this guy did.
Yep.
I just don't understand that. I mean, I get what you're saying about Victor, but again, banned from what? He doesn't do anything. He's just a guy on X that talks about testing. Sorry, Victor. I like the guy. I've met him numerous times. You could be freaking annoying. You know what I mean? I mean,
he goes on and on.
Gone, bro. Like, listen. There's a thing of convincing and there's a thing like over convincing. And that's a turnoff, man. If you got to sell me something, then obviously it's just not that good. And I think that, in my opinion, he's messed up Vada. And that's why I'm saying, like, Margaret kind of gets frustrated. Bring Victor up. You could see it in her face. in her tone. She's like, dude, yeah. I have nothing to do with this guy.
Yeah, that's a big misconception that's out there in the boxing right. community as well amongst fans, is that they think that he has something to do with Vada when, yeah, no, he doesn't at the end of the day.
He doesn't. He just look. Yep. Whether you believe it or not, like I said, that's up to each individual. When Vada came around, he was like, he took the stance of clean sport. Okay. And he was like, well, I'm an inside guy. I know blah, 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 what, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, hey, he's a guy that you want to listen to because he's been in and out of doing these things. Whether you think he's a good guy or a bad guy, it doesn't matter. But if you listen to the actual meat of what he's talking about, it actually was like, okay, this is what we need to look for. Mm-hmm. Whether he's clean, that's why I say it's, I don't know if what he's doing. I don't know what Memo Heredia, I don't know what they're doing. So it isn't bullshit of his their past, because that's their past. I don't know what they're doing in the present. So how am I going to speak on something if about what these two men are doing in the sport when really realistically, I don't know if they're giving substance and foreign shit into fighters' bodies. You know, I don't know.
Yep. That's true, man. We don't know. And that's the big quandary we have with this situation in boxing. I want to move on to the next topic. Now, I do appreciate you talking about that, man, because like I said, you have a lot of experience with not, well, more Victor than Memo, but in,
right.
In covering performance enhancing drugs in boxing. So guys, real quickly, before we move on, I want to talk about Pure Air Mechanical. All right, guys, heating and cooling for commercial and residential. Give these guys a follow on Instagram, guys. Pure Air Mechanical. They'll get your house nice and warm. Heat up, okay, for the wintertime. And, guys, speaking of heating up, we have a one Mr. Teofimo Lopez. The takeover, right, has been going on a epic rant for the last couple days on X. And one thing I want to talk about, I mean, there's several tweets that I could have picked out from the last couple of days from this kid, but one here in particular stood out to me, and I'm going to go ahead and read this real quickly. He says, I am too expensive for Top Rank, but the truth is that Todd DeBuff is the issue here. He hasn't liked me or my father since I started the takeover established in 2018. And probably beforehand. Now he is the chairman of Top Rank, so people do the math. By law, I have freedom of speech. Oh, boy. Then he was saying some other things as well, talking about he wants a buyout from Top Rank of his contract. And look, guys, this is the only way that he's going to get a fight this year if he truly is looking to get off of the Top Rank promotional banner. Someone's going to have to pick up that contract or he's going to be put on ice. And that's just the truth, guys. All right. You go on the internet and you say these things about the people who have been promoting you, the people who have invested money in your career. This is a little out of left field for me, man. And I have a lot of things to say about this, man. But Dave, I want to get your thoughts on it first, man.
Is it really out of left field for you?
Maybe it's not left bleachers, you know.
Right. Didn't he try to set something up with Trilla? If I'm mistaken,
yeah, he took the Cambosos fight back in 2021 to purse bid and
Trilla had to go back to where again?
Right. That didn't work out so well. So they had to have the fight on Matchroom, who was the runner-up for that first bid.
You know, I like Teal. I think that he's a very special boxer when he's Gordo.
Right.
Okay? It's really hard to bet when he's in the Gordo state of mind. I think, you know, he has all the tools. But yes. That doesn't... Unfortunately, in boxing, it doesn't turn over to stardom.
Exactly.
You know? And again, you know, he's got to do the best for himself. Fighters are a walking business. Okay. All I could say is this. What I see with this era of fighters now is the way they function. I've been a entrepreneur business guy for years, bro, decades. Okay. I was a business owner before Teofimos was even born. If I did half the things that these guys do in terms of only fighting once a year, or going back and trying to negotiate a contract that I signed, I wouldn't have a business. You know, the way you stay in business is by staying in the public and your performance, your skill level of performance. Okay. You know, I know that fighters now they're starting to believe that boxing is a popularity contest. And in some regards, it is. Okay. I think Ryan Garcia has proved that point. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you don't have that Ryan Garcia charisma, and you're saying that you're a pay-per-view star and you're this and you're that, well, then do what the other stars did.
Right.
Leave and fit the bill.
Ooh.
You got Devin Haney, who's been from the beginning when he turned pro at 17. I got the, you know, the email immediately because I did a lot of work with his publicist at the time, saying the way they used to push it in your face is the youngest boxing promoter in history, Devin Haney.
Yeah.
Still a promoter. But just because you put a label on something, let me ask you this and ask anybody in the chat. Have you ever worked for a manager or an owner that doesn't know diddly of what they're pushing? So they're dependent on you as an employee to make things happen. Have you? Right? We've all kind of went through that, right? We work for a guy and we're like, I used to do plumbing for this guy. His name is, I shouldn't say his name of his company, you know, because I don't know if he's still around. And right. Messed up. But it's probably going to be given away anyways, because we had a nickname for him and stuff. His first name was, let's just say it was D, right? Like my name, because it started with D. But we used to call him D, don't know shit about plumbing, because it was the abbreviations of his company. I remember it was like, how did this guy get a C-36 contractor's license? Like, this guy knows nothing about plumbing, and he really didn't. He struggled, and he was like upfront about it. Like, I don't know shit about what I'm doing here, but he went and passed, you know, his contract, and he got his brothers who were contractors to sign for him, etc. Right. So when I see a guy put promoter, I'm a promoter, or guys talking about like what I'm worth, blah, 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 blah. If you got to convince me the same way, like we're talking about Victor, if you got to convince me, dude, obviously
you ain't it.
You ain't it. You just, I'm sorry, man. I don't understand that. I just don't get it, you know? And you know, if you really tried that by leaving before and it didn't work out, what makes you think it's going to work out this time? And I said this, like two podcasts ago that we were on, I had said like, if nobody's knocking on your door, then you're not really the draw, are you?
Exactly. If no one's asking you out to the prom, then you ain't, you know, you ain't it, man. And you ain't it, man. That's 100% true, man.
Leave those dance shoes at home. Because you ain't dancing.
Exactly. You ain't going nowhere on prom night. And that's exactly the problem here. I think what's happening, and again, I don't speak to Teofimo. I've interviewed his father a couple of times, and those were some fun interviews.
Right.
But I think what's happening here with this kid is that he's frustrated with his resume and his accomplishments in the sport at his age is... Look, guys, we got to give it to him. He's done a fantastic job with
absolutely
fighting the guys, right? You know, he was at the time when he beat Richard Comey, right? There was a lot of people that didn't think he was going to win that fight. He ends up knocking that guy out in two rounds, right? Yep. His very next fight, he takes on Vasyl Lomachenko, a guy who was top three pound for pound on everyone's list at the time, beats him. You know,
he had that. And you picked him.
Yeah.
Hey, you picked Teal. Yeah. I remember I laughed at you. I'm like, well, bro, you're crazy. You're crazy. And then after, I was like, God damn. Jeez, that was a hell of a pick. And yeah, man. I mean, yeah. Phenomenal fighter.
Great win, man. And then, you know, he had the setback against Kambosos, but then he comes back and, you know, beats Josh Taylor, who was the guy at 140 pounds. So now he's the guy there. Right. So, you know, he's done a lot of great things as far as that goes, you know, and yes. We're not taking anything away from that, David.
Nothing away.
Nothing. But nothing. As you guys can see, look, it's not rocket science. It's often those type of fighters and those type of accomplishments, they don't always equal out to big paydays, guys, in this business. Now, you brought up Ryan Garcia. He is the number one example. Well, actually, I shouldn't say number one. Tank Davis.
Yep.
He's another guy who's in and around that division with Teofimo. Him and Ryan Garcia are two guys that most fight fans should be able to look at and say, okay, yeah, this business is all about putting asses in seats. And if you can't put asses in seats, and if you can't move pay-per-view units, guess what? You're not going to be getting those major paydays. It doesn't matter what you accomplished. That has nothing to do with it at the end of the day. Now, if you can accomplish all that and be a legit star at the same time, only very few fighters have been able to do that. But, hey, that's great. But that's not the way it always works, guys. And I think Teofimo, I don't know if he doesn't understand that or what, or if he doesn't have an advisor. I know he's got a manager. I'm sure they're probably pulling their fucking hair out right now. He's tweeting and things like that.
Yeah, I mean it's a meltdown right now on the internet, you know. But you know, I feel I have compassion for the kid or any of these fighters that have been fighting for years since they were kids, since they were little. You got to remember they sacrificed so much to get to this point.
A lot,
and to not be received as a superstar. I'll be honest with you, Teofimo, Devin Haney, any fighter. They're a superstar in my house because I'm a hardcore boxing zombie.
Right.
I watch boxing all the time, you know? So they're a superstar in my house, but that doesn't equate as other folks. Like if I went across the street right now, my neighbor, and I'm like, hey, what do you think about Teofimo Lopez? He'd be like, well, who's that? Ooh. Your primo? Your cousin or what? Hey, I mean, what are we going on here and shit? Yeah, you know?
Right.
If I went anywhere and mentioned any of these names right now, except the exception of Canelo, even Tank, bro. You know, I think Tank's superstar going down that way, but here in like in California, a lot of folks don't know who he is. They're like, who? Like, I don't know. What do you mean a Tank? You know, we're talking about the Ukrainian war. What's going on here? You know, so I think that the frustration for like Teofimo Lopez is that look, I did everything. You guys told me I was going to beat Richard Comey. You guys told me I wasn't going to beat Lomachenko. Cedric. The list went down, okay? You told me I was a done shot fighter. I had mental issues after Kambosa. Kike, the kid, you know, used the tactic saying that was, you know.
He's going to commit suicide.
Suicide.
And
yeah,
want to die in the ring. Stuff. Yeah.
Right. You know, and he
and
thought.
That's no laughing matter, by the way. Sorry.
It is. And he thought by pushing that bar, it would take him somewhere because, you know, nobody does anything just to do it. There's a reason. And he thought by pushing that bar, it was going to, you know, attract more eyes and ears and whatever, you know? And I think that the thing with the internet is that people are trying to find ways to get the attention span of folks. I mean, I watched like YouTubers, man, they're making millions like that kid, Jake Paul. Okay. And
all right,
I'm having a comment. My kids, you know, my youngest son is 22. No, he's 23 now. Cabron, he's 23. We had a great conversation, and he was like, "Dad, my era is, it's got to be over the top. It's got to be really edgy for us to like, to be attracted to it. You know, if it's not that edgy, like trying to, you know, and it's not even like the edgy. It's like." Fucking cringy edgy. It's like, damn, bro. You know? I mean, we had two fighters. Ryan Garcia. First was mental, you know, have mental issues, right? Mm-hmm. Then he did the David Haney thing. And all of a sudden, the mental issues were gone. Now he's just a drug addict now that they're claiming. You know, he's like portraying, right? And then Teal, mental issues and all that. That to me, man, is just, at some point, it hasn't happened to Ryan, but it might have happened to Teal. It turned off a lot of folks, and he's trying to figure it out now. What do I do? Do I do what what Ryan Garcia would do when the fight, you know, fight wasn't happening? Start crying wolf and saying I'm gonna leave my promoter, and it scares my promoter. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing, but I just know that he keeps calling himself a throwback fighter. Well, throwback fighters fought.
They fight. Yes.
Yeah, they just fight, man. They didn't care if they were,
they didn't care if they were on pay-per-view or not, you know, and that's another issue that was put out there recently with this recent news with Teofimo is that he was supposed to fight Sobrio Matias from Puerto Rico on pay-per-view March 15th. Man, it sounds like that fight's not going to happen.
Right.
And I think, I think that was a terrible mistake for Teofimo because if you wanted a pay-per-view, you know, you wanted a headline, a pay-per-view, they were going to give it to you. From what was reported, you were going to make well over your minimum. I don't know what your minimum is with Top Rank, but you were going to make more than usual for sure. And you were going to be in there with a name, a guy who a lot of fans believe is the boogeyman of the division, quote unquote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a perfect style matchup for you. You would have looked like a fucking $1 million against Sobrio Matias. You would have whipped his ass and looked fucking great doing it. You had a great opportunity. They gave you a softball to hit out of the park, you know, with this matchup and on pay-per-view. And if it would have done well, then that's even better. I had my issues with it being on pay-per-view. I thought it would do well. But either way, the matchup is phenomenal for Teofimo. And to be quite honest with you, he needs a good performance like this because last year he fought Jermaine Ortiz in a really bad style matchup, and it was a terrible fight. And then he fought Steve Claggett, which was an okay fight, but I think a lot of us were expecting him to get rid of Claggett, you know, in impressive fashion. And that didn't happen. So
no, because he fights at the level – of his opponents. His issue.
Yeah.
You know,
and with Matias, slow plotting, come forward guy, not a lot of defense. Teofimo, fast, twitch muscles, good counter puncher, very athletic. Dude, he would have styled on this guy. It was perfect, man. Somehow, some way, he talked himself out of it, man. Unbelievable.
Well, I think that's what. You know, I've said this for years. Boxing has lost true managers and true publicists to be in your ear. You know, you don't have the right people surrounding you. And, you know, same thing like with tactics we were talking about, about Memo Heredia and Victor Contes. This is a tactic to sell a fight. Good fight sells itself. A trainer one time, I can't remember. You remember his name, but it was in a press conference and one of the trainers was just mouthing off at the fighter and they asked the trainer, like, what do you think? He's like, look, I'm not the one stepping in the ring. The fighters are. I don't need to do this. Why am I going to argue and fight with the other trainer? You know, but it looks like we've moved on to this era of just like, hey, I got thoughts. Let me vomit it over the internet and see what sticks. With the Teofimo Lopez and the fight you're talking about, it reminds me of when Top Rank was giving Crawford the American. We need to get you out there. We just need to get you out there. Got to get you fights. And
that's a great comparison. I wouldn't even have thought of that. That's great.
Yeah. And again, you're having a fighter that's having a tamper at the wrong people.
Exactly.
Yep. You know, I get it. I've called out Top Rank when they do, you know, when they would stack a card, they would have a good main event, but then all the rest of the fights were just like, Jesus, this is terrible. You know, they've gotten better. But again, maybe I don't know. Like I said, we live in a different era of fight fans nowadays, bro. I personally don't want to hear your dirty laundry. I just want to see you fight.
Yeah.
Just get in there and fight, man. That's I grew up in that era. You know, I'm a 70s baby. Grew up in the 80s, you know, watching the fights in the 80s and 90s. And you know, so like all this new tactics and new wave of people venting out, I don't really care for it, man. It's just, to me, it's just whistles in the wind, you know?
Exactly.
And You know, if
doesn't
you
get my doesn't right. get my juices flowing either, man.
At all. You know, I'm talking to Marvis Marvin Hagler, you know, and he said, like, I, why do I need to push a guy and start calling him names? I mean, we're already going to get in the ring. What's the point of doing all of that? You know, it's a gentleman's sport. Let's just do it where we were paid to go. They're prize fighters, you know, and this now these fighters fighting once a year and complaining about that they're not fighting for this X amount. Well, I think that's on you. You're self-business. If you're not putting yourself out there for me to see your value, and I said this before, I get it. There's a lot of fanboys that want to protect their fighters, and they're like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get it. And I get that the fighter believes in their value. Yeah. But as the consumer, I think I have the right to say, like, yeah, man, I don't think that should be pay-per-view, bro. Or yeah. No. Why should you get paid $5 million for yep. and being put it on pay-per-view? Why? Give me the reason. Now, if you did things like what Oscar De La Hoya did, which was like five fight times on HBO, and then fight Felix Stern on HBO, not pay-per-view, and then fought Bernard Hopkins to show us this is the value, then okay.
Right.
You know what yep. I mean? I mean, I just, you know, again, I like to use the whole throwback, you know, that Teofimo likes to throw a lot. You know, he's like, oh, I'm a throwback fighter, bro. That's, you know, I'm an old soul. Well, old soul. Let me ask you, bro. You're a massive Tito Trinidad fan. I'm a massive Tito Trinidad fan. I don't remember Tito ever fucking crying and complaining like this.
No.
You just threw whoever in front of the guy and he beat him. Let's do it.
That was what we always heard from the fighters back then was like, hey, man, I'll fight whoever they put in front of me, and I'll beat whoever they put in front of me. Let's do it.
Fernando Vargas, dude, whoever, yeah. You know, homeboy got dropped by Flores, you know, and after the whole Tito Trinidad, and then he still went on, you know, he wasn't like, well, no, I want bigger payday.
Right.
It was about legacy. So if you're an old soul and you're about a throwback mind, then it's about legacy, being right. in the books of boxing. But yeah, you do got to get paid. But what about building the foundation and then everything else comes along?
Exactly. And for those of you that, again, I get this a lot, and I completely understand fight fans' frustration with a lot of fights being thrown on pay-per-view that, like Dave said, quite frankly, they shouldn't be, right?
Right.
But let's listen to promoter Eddie Hearn when he was asked about why he put a fight on between a guy like Devin Haney and Regis Prograis, paid them a ridiculous amount of money on pay-per-view. Let's just take a listen.
For that May Day, if you were matching Canelo, who would you pick in terms of Benavidez, Crawford?
Oh,
there's a lot of options.
That's the wrong video. It's this one, I think. Let's see.
I expect Benavidez to stop Demetrius Andre.
Nope. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, guys. I had a few videos here of Eddie Hearn, but I do have, here it is, right here. My mistake, guys. This is live, okay? This is what happens when we're live, okay? So here's what he said when he was asked about why Devin Haney versus Regis Prograis was put on pay-per-view. Here we go.
On design pay-per-view, this has come with some criticism, especially from Dan Rafe. He always very critical of the pay-per-view. How do you sort of respond to the criticism of it?
It might be a sign of the times, you know, for the market and for the purses that these guys are getting for the mega fights. You know, Devin Haney's just boxed on pay-per-view against Lomachenko. He won that fight. He wants a lot of money. Regis wants a lot of money as well. It's the way to make the fight happen. It's our first pay-per-view in America.
So that's basically what I wanted to get out there for you guys to hear, is that he said, these guys want a lot of money, right? That, quite honestly, they don't really, or haven't really earned at this point in their career. They're not hot names.
I wouldn't say they didn't earn. I think they do, like with Teal. They earned it. I mean, Lanier champions here. Haney, same thing, you know. But again, those terms don't equate as dollars, though, right?
Exactly, yeah. They're not big draws. They're not hot attractions. Right. So the only way that fight happens is to be put on pay-per-view, because they need the extra money to try to front the bill for these guys. Mm-hmm. And again, this is exactly why we've been saying for a long time here on this channel, Joseph Herron has been saying it a long time on his channel, that this is why You can't just overpay fighters when they don't bring the return to the networks and the promoters, man. And if you want to make the best matchups, right? Because that was a matchup that a lot of people said they wanted to see, right? Was Haney versus Prograe. I mean, right. Yeah, Haney versus Prograe. But because of the demands, in order to make it happen, we got to put it on pay-per-view. They want a lot of money for it. And think about it like this. I seen Two-Tone the Superstar, right? He's a big name on social media. He does shows with Nestor Gibbs on The Boxing Voice. So he made a video today and put it on X. So I want to play the audio here, and then Dave and I are going to give our opinions on it. And I want your guys' opinion in the chat as well about this, because he does talk about Teofimo, which is what we're talking about. So let's take a listen here.
Oh, give that man Canelo $300 million. Chilaquiles, chilaquiles.
The Cash App is open.
Oh, it's musty, and I say that respectfully. Turkey Ala Sheik gave Usyk Tyson Fury astronomical paydays. Money most people won't even see in a lifetime that can take care of generations for years, and I say that respectfully. So why wouldn't the face of boxing, Saul Canelo Alvarez, not need at least $300+ million to fight David the Mexican Monster Benavidez? Before, I was like, did Canelo outprice himself? But I wondered. Canelo is an OG. Canelo is one of the GOATs of the game, and Canelo is a supreme businessman, and he knew. If Tyson and Usyk is getting that much money, how come I can't get money? Get that man $300 million.
Well, he's
and
getting money.
That but... to say this. Why is y'all worried about if Teofimo Lopez can sell out a Church's Chicken parking lot, can sell out a Chuck E. Cheese or Applebee's during those mid-dollar readers? Why are you worried about that? You don't want to see T.O. versus Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, Shakur Stevenson, Terrence Bud Crawford, Jerron Boots, Doug Ennis? You don't want to see that squabble? No. Instead of you wanting to see the squabble, you would rather have a Ticketmaster seating chart in your back pocket looking at how much the fight is selling. You are disgusting, and you are musty at the highest level.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. There's a little bit more. But again, guys, if you just listen to what he said, and then you listen to what Eddie Hearn said about making these matchups against these guys who want a lot of money to fight these, you know, these, because look, Teo's asking for a good amount of money against someone like a Subriel Matias, right? Who, quite frankly, would probably lose to all these guys like a Stevenson, like a Devin Haney, like a Ryan Garcia, right? So if you're asking for astronomical numbers against a guy like that, how much you think he's going to ask for Tank Davis, who's the biggest draw around that division? How much you think he's going to want for Ryan Garcia, who's another big draw? Or tough fights like Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson? That is just going to make things harder, and it's going to put all these fights on pay-per-view, which is what this guy, Two-Tone, hates. He'll flat out go on his platform and talk about, I'm going to use my Fire Stick for this fight. I ain't paying for it, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to illegally stream the fight, is what he's telling everyone on his platform. But then you want to give guys inflated purses to fight. That's not going to stop the pay-per-view thing, man. That's a ridiculous take, in my opinion. But what do you think about what he said, Dave?
I guess he's okay if he goes to buy a steak at Sizzler compared to a 5-star steakhouse,
right?
And want, you know, pay for the same amount for a 5-star steakhouse to a musky, whatever the hell he says, steak. Look, when they say like, give these guys their money, and where their money's going to come from? Like, why should we care? Well, remember this: Canelo and Plant almost didn't happen.
Because of money, yeah.
Because of money. But and who, and say, when he says, where's, you know, why do we care? Well, do you know where the money came from? Where they had to come from? It came out of the pocket of Canelo in the negotiations. Canelo's the one that had to front that. Canelo's the one that said, okay, because I'm looking at UFI and it's a historical thing to do, I'm going to take lesser of the chunk. So if Teofimo gets the same, you know, courtesy from Tank, by all means.
Right. And that's not going to happen.
If Tank's like, if Tank really wants to fight, and he's like, okay, yeah, yeah, I'll do this. And I'll, you know, because this matters to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. If you're okay of going somewhere and paying top dollar and it's a piece of mierda, bro, that's, you know, that's what this kid's saying. That's what he's saying, right? He's like, I, you know, what does it matter? I mean, it should matter, because if we're looking to see fights, we want good fights. Do we always got to pay the top dollar? Especially, here's the thing too. God, this is the thing too. I hate watching fights where the betting odds are like way up there for the guy that,
a you mismatch. Know, like, yeah.
It's such a mismatch. And I got to pay for that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because what? Because you want to snuggle up close to a fighter and right. For the viewership. I understand that. Hey, man, that's your hustle. More power to you. But again, as a consumer and a guy that's looking for longevity of the sport, this is not the route. But no. Here's another thing I like to point out before you jump in. This doesn't fall all on the fighters either. Like with Teofimo. And I understand his frustration, you know, and the word deserve doesn't exist in boxing. I think a lot of folks got to understand it.
Yeah, they all deserve it, right? If we're going to use taking risks and sacrifices and whatnot, even at the club level, guys. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
So there's a lot of fault to promoters. And I'll give you a reason why this kid is my belief, logic of why this kid's frustrated. Because, like, again, Lanier champion twice, bro. Mm-hmm. Twice. Okay. Puts his life on the line. Does all this other stuff. Deserve. He rightfully is right. He does deserve these big paydays. Okay. Because he's done these fights that, again, was told you ain't going to beat Lomachenko, you ain't going to beat Comey, you're a shot fighter after Kambos, all this stuff. Deserves it. But the fault falls with the promoter. Why? Because promoters have lost their ways of building a regional star into becoming a mega star. We don't have that in boxing anymore.
No.
We basically now have promoters putting all their chips in one guy and hoping that that people's eyes are going to be attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
The build up to a lot of fighters, man, I hate to say it, is just really lazy now.
That's true, man. And when they get one, it takes a long time to build a hot commodity. It takes a lot of time, a lot of money. That's that's another thing that fans don't always get, you know. They're like, we want these tough fights now, we want these big fights now. Like, and we talked about this with a guy like Xander Zayas, who said he was ready to fight Virgil Ortiz, which we believe him 100%.
Right.
Like, yeah, he would take the fight, but his handlers are like, hey, you know, like,
right,
we're trying to build you, kid. You're gonna be, we want you to be the next big thing for Puerto Rican boxing, which is a big market in the boxing world. Right. We're not going to just throw you in there, man. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to build big names, man. And another thing I want to play here real quickly before we head out. Leonard Ellaby, a guy who takes a lot of heat as well on social media from fight fans and his involvement with Tank Davis. But this is his take on why someone like Devin Haney hasn't gotten a shot at Tank Davis. Here's what he had to say.
Devin Haney makes a lot of money, and I'm proud of him for that. I'm proud of his dad, and I'm proud of him. He's an excellent boxer, and he's a good businessman too. Okay. But would we pay him that kind of money that he's making? Absolutely not. Devin Haney makes a lot of money.
And think about it like this, right? We already know that Haney makes a good amount of money. Right from when he fights. So think about it. When he's going to go in there with a guy who makes more money than him and has a lot more paying fans than him, yeah, he's going to ask for astronomical numbers. And that's why those fights are very difficult to make, guys. These guys are going to have to become more realistic with their demands if we're going to get these fights, right? I think this, like you said, Dave, we talked about this before with the manager Ernesto about, I think this generation that we have right now, the current crop at the top, we're going to have to wait for their careers to end and work on the guys coming in. I think it's far too gone at this point, man.
I don't know where, you know, I also see a lot of people blaming Floyd, you know, like, oh, you know, because of Floyd and this and that. But I think people forget that beginning of Floyd's career.
Oh, I know. They didn't see that part. That's why.
They didn't see that part. The climb up, you know, the same thing with Canelo. You know, people are like, well, you know, Canelo does this. But they don't see that, how he was marketed, how gold, you know, and then when he came to the States, how Goldboy matched him, you know, to get
fantastic
him
to job.
This, to get him to a point. And same thing with Teofimo. I mean, he's still a young guy. Devin Haney, still a young guy. You know, all these guys, still very young in the game. And I think there's still time to build them to where their mind is set. I just believe that there's a – Lennox Lewis said it best when he fought Michael Grant. Just too hurry on the come up. And that's why you go down fast. You remember that? He was like, he was just too hurrying to come up. Like, Michael Grant was already in a position for a heavyweight title and wasn't mentally ready.
He clearly wasn't ready. Yeah. Even though I bought into the hype, bro.
And I'm not saying
I was rooting for Michael Grant hard in that fight, and damn, I was quiet real quick.
And I'm not saying mentally, like Teofimo and Devin Haney and a lot of other fighters are not mentally there, but I think that the marketing is not completely there. Again, if those guys came through my house, they're stars.
Yeah.
You know, but you walk down my block,
nobody knows who Devin Haney is. Nobody knows who Teofimo is. Nobody knows who
just another homeboy walking down the street. You know what I mean? I mean,
these guys might be able to walk through the mall, the local mall, and not get stopped once. Like, and I'm not trying to be funny, but that's the reality of it. That's really the reality. You think Canelo has that problem? Fuck no, he doesn't. He probably wouldn't be able to walk through the mall comfortably. You know, like
I mean, he's his face is everywhere. You know, and again, Canelo understands his brand.
Yep,
and he knew the route. I mean, whether you like the way Canelo moved his career around. I mean, because we know people, and I've known people that don't, they credit what he's done, but they don't like the way he did it. Okay.
Right.
But he listened to his team and he was like, and this team was like, yep, we're not doing that. And I remember like Golden Boy, you know, they were like, we're not, you know, going to take him to 160. He needs to hold off. We're going to keep him here and we're going to move. What we're going to do is we're going to make guys from two weight divisions jump up to face him. So he was in the eye of the public. Every time.
Yeah.
You know, you had like Roy Jones Jr. saying that he was a power puncher, a devastating puncher, because he was knocking out guys, you know, that the Hattons of the world and the Cons of the world, right? So they market him beautiful. They put him out there. And then when he was ready, and even when he wasn't, like, he wasn't really a filled in 160, and he fought Triple G that first time, you know, and I believe Triple G won that fight. But when he finally filled into his body, What results did we start seeing?
Right. That was the brilliant matchmaking of Don Chargan, who was the matchmaker at the time for Golden Boy, who was a longtime promoter in boxing. Moved his career along beautifully when he came over here to the United States.
And regional. Like
you said,
again, we go back to regional. He was promoted in Mexico. That's where they kept him at, build his career there. And then when it was ready to make the transition, the jump to the United States, that's what they did. Teo, I said this from the beginning, like, why is this kid not like more of a New York star? Why are they not pushing that?
Yep.
You know, Devin Haney, you know, from O-Town, San Francisco. Why is he not pushed out there? Blah, 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 blah. You know, we see a lot of fighters that are fighting that are from Southern California and they're fighting in the East Coast. Made no sense. Or an East Coast fighter coming down. We just saw that recently. Crawford. Why was he fighting in Southern California?
They got to put these fights in the right location.
Right. Why are they setting these guys up for failure? You know, you put them in. I mean, think about this. Andre Ward was doing fantastic in Oakland. when I would go and cover the fights, bro, I mean, yeah, I wasn't over, you know, like, I mean, he couldn't fill up the whole arena, but it was a great size to build him up.
Yeah, and that's a big fucking arena there, man.
It's with massive.
The Oracle now, it's huge.
Yep. Yeah, huge, dude. It's huge. And then they decided to say, nope, all right, let's start moving it. Let's start moving it, you know. And look at Tank and them. You got to give it to him. The guy's still holding it where he's popular.
Yeah, yeah. He's,
you know what I mean?
Sticking people to left. The, yeah, he's sticking where it's hot, man. And that's yep. great. That's great.
Crawford
work by
was
those
doing, Crawford was filling up his arena at his hometown.
Yeah. Yep. I agree, you know, man.
Why somebody move that? Why break that formula? I don't understand it, you know? And, you know, to me, a lot of these champions are champions without a home. Teofimo, I know you're in New York, you're from the East Coast, but what's your home?
Yeah. He claims he's, you know, spent time, a lot of time in Florida, a lot of time in New York. I mean, yeah, the regional thing is a great thing for boxing, man. And,
yep.
Hopefully we can get some of that going here, man, because the market doesn't seem that well here in the United States. And that's a whole nother topic. I don't want to get started on that because I do got to wrap this up, man. I got to get my kids ready for bed. It's 7:30 here on the West Coast. So, Dave, any last words you want to give out there to the fans watching this?
I just say stay hopeful. Hopefully things change in boxing. Look, I've been around with the sport for too long to give up on it, man.
Right. Really.
I'm a very delusional fan. I'll be honest with you. I've always said this about boxing fans. We are the ones with the white, you know, boxing is the person with the wife beater, and we're the ones that get the beating, you know. It's just a very addicting sport. So keep your faith in the sport. I know it's hard. With everything, I told G Funky one time, point at one thing that we have an issue with boxing, I can point at 10 other things that yep. happens in boxing that we have yep. issues with.
It's one of the truest things I've ever heard from someone in this thing, man. So absolutely, man. So guys, thank you all for tuning in live, and for those of you who are going to tune into this once we're off here, we appreciate it. Don't forget to hit the yep. like button on the way out, guys, and subscribe to my guy here and Leave It in the Ring on YouTube. We do recorded shows, and Dave posts them up. So make sure that you not yep. only subscribe, but hit the notification bell so you get the notification when he does release those videos. We will see you guys on the next one. We're out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas y Caballeros.